Salem Morning News starts right now.
It don't matter, he's dope, he knows that, but he's pro. He's so stagnant, he knows when he goes back to this mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again, yo. This old Rhapsody better go capture this moment.
Good morning, 7:09 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And, you know, I know you've heard David talking about this. You've seen Channel 3 reporting on this, and you may have otherwise heard, but we had a horrible thing happen yesterday in Walton County, which is, you know, we normally report on Escambia and Santa Rosa things primarily, but when it's a law enforcement thing that is, you know, our people in the panhandle, and certainly Walton County is, you know, very, very close to us, Walton County Sheriff's deputy was shot and killed yesterday under just unbelievable circumstances. And Sheriff Michael Atkinson, to his credit, did a press conference yesterday in which he, unfortunately told us what happened, because this is a story that we all ought to understand.
Approximately 2 p.m. this afternoon, Walton County Sheriff's Office dispatch received a call from the Dollar General store, which is located at U.S. Highway 90. Around Lancelot Road in the Mossinghead community. That call was that there was an individual there causing a disturbance and needed to be trespassed from the scene. The deputy that was dispatched, Deputy Will May, responded to that call. Deputy May was not supposed to be working today. He came in to volunteer to provide overtime assistance.
He wasn't supposed to be on shift that day. He came in to help. And that was the last call of the day. He was headed home. I'll swing by and take care of this on my way home. Ordinary trespass call. Guys causing trouble. We just want him out of our store.
Deputy May responded to the Goodwill store, made contact with the suspect. There was a brief discussion, approximately 10 to 15 seconds, in which the suspect exited the store with Deputy May walking out behind him. Within 10 seconds of the suspect walking out of the store with Deputy May behind him, that suspect drew a firearm and fired multiple rounds, striking Deputy May.
Like an incredibly normal, common, ordinary, low-key encounter. Talk with him for a few seconds. Let's go. He's going. Gets outside, pulls a gun out, and shoots the deputy. Unbelievable.
Deputy May, to his great personal credit and courage, was able to draw his firearm and return fire. This short but violent gunfight resulted in at least 18 rounds being fired, with both individuals being killed.
So, I mean, this is a total shootout, you know? And Deputy May, who had been shot and at the point didn't know, fatally wounded, killed the murderer. Who knows what would have happened if he hadn't? You know? Who knows what this guy was prepared to do or would have done had the deputy not done what he did in the process of, you know, doing his job and responding in self-defense. So law enforcement got there. Luckily, one of them was an EMS. You know, they tried to do life flight. Didn't work because of the, you know, air conditions. So they had to drive him to the hospital. 4 hours they were working on him, trying to keep him alive, trying to save his life. 4 hours.
Will fought the entire time, from returning fire on scene to fighting for his own life. At 7:10 this evening, Deputy Will May succumbed to gunshot.
And he hadn't been a deputy with him, you know, all that long, but long enough. You know, started with the agency in 2014 and been on patrol for about 6 or 7 years. And, you know, the most natural thing people ask in a situation like this is, was anything done wrong? What could have been done differently? You know, like, that's kind of like first impulse is when you think about it. After you get over the shock a little bit, after you get over the horror and the sadness and the empathy, all appropriate responses, you ask the question of, well, you know, what did exactly happen and could anything have been done to prevent this? And the answer is not really.
I am struggling on behalf of this organization to make sense of this, because I can tell you there is absolutely nothing tactically wrong that Deputy May did. I've been in this business 32 years. There is nothing I would have done differently. There was no indication whatsoever that this would have ended in that kind of violence. But that's what the men and women of this organization, the men and women who choose to put themselves in harm's way, understand and accept when we go to work. Watching it, it is just unfathomable to me that Will is not here. It's unfathomable to me that this happened. But I can tell you, and I want to say again, there's absolutely nothing he could have done differently, nor was there any indication of this individual's capable of this level of violence.
And this is, you know, why when I talk with our law enforcement partners, you know, Sheriff Johnson, Sheriff Simmons, Mike Wood, or Chief Randall, we talk with them about things all the time, and, you know, you've heard it so many times, it almost becomes obvious, but the traffic stop can be, most of the time, is nothing. Every once in a while. You know, domestic situations can be anything. But and trespassing a person off of a property can be anything. But you get familiar with what's normal, and nothing here, as far as we know, we may never see the body cam video, or if it even exists, because I guess the body camera was shot in the process. But I don't know that I want to watch the video, honestly. But he did, you know, he says he did everything right. Can't explain it, can't comprehend it. He was wearing a vest. The vest stopped many of the bullets, multiple bullets. But probably one went under, and probably what I suspect happened is he either got turned, okay, and then you become vulnerable from the side, or he was falling from the shots and got shot under the vest. I mean, it's just, the vest is not a 100% body protection. You know, there's nothing you could do. He did everything he could do, everything he should do. You're not gonna have your gun on a guy you're trespassing off a property. Like, it doesn't work that way. Unless they're a threat. And if they're a threat, then what, you're gonna frisk him, you're gonna arrest him, you're gonna put him in handcuffs. It's different. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. If you're traveling 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we've got traffic backed up due to an accident that happened. Traffic's backed up all the way past the Navarre Beach Bridge. That's going to add about another 10, 20 minutes to your commute this morning, so just be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are looking good. If you're traveling on Highway 90 southbound toward I-10, you're going to see some minor delays there getting onto I-10. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. You know, I appreciate Sheriff Atkinson saying that he's not going to mention the murderer's name, not going to give him any kind of attention whatsoever. You can figure it out if you need to. I'm amazed he did the press conference. Like, it's, you know, he got asked by a reporter whether this guy had priors or not. Was he a concealed weapons holder? He was. He was a concealed weapons permit holder, legally owned the gun as far as they know, had no priors. Okay, they found guns in his house, but you don't have to have a concealed carry permit to conceal a gun, right? I mean, you don't have to. But he just says he's never seen anything like this. It's an incredibly common activity to be trespassing somebody. It happens, you know, thousands of times a day all over the United States. And he just still can't believe it.
This is an agency in shock and in disbelief that this happened. And it's certainly that it happened this way. At 2 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon, for something where an arrest was not going to be made. The subject being dealt with was not even going to be arrested. They were simply asking him to leave. 25 to 30 seconds after his arrival, he was mortally wounded. It does not make sense.
And, you know, somebody just texted in a thought that I think is a fair speculation, is he may have stopped a mass shooting. I mean, if the guy's causing trouble inside a store and he's carrying a gun, you don't know what's going to happen. I was thinking about it more of a, after he shot the deputy, what he might have done, but you don't know what the deputy thwarted in the process of just showing up. I don't know either. It's a horrible, horrible story. We are all praying for the agency, for the other members of law enforcement in that area, for the family. I mean, for the people who were bystanders that observed this, they're traumatized forever. And for all of our law enforcement partners and friends who have to deal with this and think about this and be reminded. You know, he left a wife and two kids behind. Their lives are never going to be the same. You know, like I've got a kid who's thinking about going to law enforcement. This is, of course they know the risk. But, and that's why we honor them, because knowing the risk, they'd show up anyway. They sign up anyway. They swing by a store on their way home from a shift they weren't even supposed to work at in order to help out to resolve a disturbance so they can help their fellow citizens have a little bit more peace and safety. And this is how it turns out. On some given Wednesday in Northwest Florida. Thank God it doesn't happen more often, and certainly doesn't happen very often around here. I cannot possibly state strongly enough how much I appreciate our men and women in the uniform and what they do for us on a daily basis. And I hope you do too. 720 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Who is Jesus? Some people say he was a prophet or a rabbi. Some say he was just an interesting historical figure. Really, the question, who is Jesus, is the most important question facing mankind. He wasn't just Jesus of Nazareth, but he was more than that. The Bible explains that he is Jesus the Christ. He is the Anointed One, the Messiah. Jesus isn't just a prophet, but he is the prophet. He is the one that Isaiah prophesied would be born of a virgin. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Who is Jesus? The best answer is, he is God. I encourage you to rejoice in him and give your life to him today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
The Sanger Theater opened her doors on April 2, 1925. For 100 years, she's been the heart of Pensacola entertainment with vaudeville, movies, Broadway, and music. This month, Friends of the Sanger and the City of Pensacola are saying happy birthday to the Sanger, and we invite you to help us celebrate. Learn more about these events at pensacolasanger.com/100. And happy birthday, Sanger.
Listen up, fellow Gen Xers. Elizabeth Banks here. The recommended age for pneumococcal pneumonia vaccination has been lowered to 50 and older, even if you're healthy. It's up to us to lead the way. We've done this before. Music videos, fanny packs, even the World Wide Web. Let's do it again and get vaccinated, because we're at over 6 times greater risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Gen X, this is our shot. Visit VaxAssist.com and schedule a vaccine today. Sponsored by Pfizer.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you are traveling north, there is a very strong series of storms stretching all the way from Dallas to New York, all through basically middle and western Tennessee and then Kentucky. So, you know, if you happen to be traveling like towards Nashville or, you know, St. Louis or Chicago, and you're not flying, be aware. I haven't looked to see if the airport's reporting any delays this morning, but I would not be surprised if that were the case. So might be another one of those days to double-check your flight status just to make sure if you're heading in that direction. Let's see. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Europe and China are vowing to respond to President Trump's new tariffs. Yesterday, a list of over 180 countries and territories that will be hit with reciprocal tariffs was unveiled. In Brussels, the head of the European Commission said, quote, if you take on one of us, you take on all of us. Also, China, their commerce ministry says that they will be taking countermeasures.
Isn't the problem that they have already been taking advantage of us and this is meant to even the playing field? and it's not even even. It was half, right? Whatever their calculations were.
Well, we can't have an even playing field now, can we?
Right.
Come on now.
There was, you know, the president. Did you see him with the chart yesterday? The chart of all the countries. And then on the one side, it had their net percentage tariff on us from all impacts. And so our net is going to be half of theirs back unless it was a 10% minimum. You know, so some countries like 90%, we're going to do 46% in response, you know, that kind of thing. So he's not even going full bore, you know, according to him anyway. Go ahead, David.
Parts of western Tennessee, Andrew, dealing with a lot of tornado damage. Of course, you mentioned the line of storms. The National Weather Service says two large tornadoes did hit in the town of Selmer, Tennessee overnight. Images on social media showed buildings destroyed there. And last I saw, there was a death count of three this morning.
And by the way, just I did go ahead and quickly check the board at the airport. And St. Louis is delayed. Nashville's delayed. Charlotte's canceled, you know, which you probably already know from, like, the app on your phone or whatever. But just, you know, for people who are thinking about picking up somebody or dropping somebody off, just, you know, might want to do an extra job of paying attention to the impacts today and the flight status. Go ahead, David. Sorry.
And Amazon is reportedly making an effort to buy TikTok. The New York Times says the e-commerce giant submitted an offer to Vice President J.D. Vance and Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick. Saturday would be the deadline for ByteDance to sell TikTok or the app will be banned.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. We got John Pickens with Traffic on the Fives. John?
That's right. If you're traveling on 98 eastbound, right around the Navarre Beach Bridge going eastbound, there traffic is basically down to one lane due to an earlier accident that happened, and it's backed up all the way just west of the Navarre Beach Bridge. So just be aware of that. That's going to pack an extra 15 to 20 minutes to your commute. Also, Highway 90 southbound, heading on to Avalon, you're going to see some delays there. And if you're heading on Highway 90 from Pace into Pensacola, expect some delays at that southwestbound lane as you come into Pensacola. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. What else do we have going on in the world? I haven't shared this story. It's one of these, like, weird little stories that I never quite got time to get in the show. But sometimes the world just does a thing, and it's so amazing. So you've got a conversation about gum restrictions taking place in, where was this? It was, which state was it? Sorry, I had meant to talk about this, then I flipped to something else, and so I'm on a slightly different page in my show prep. This was in Colorado. Representative Ken DeGraff is getting ready to make comments about a law dealing with the Second Amendment. Now, in case you have not paid much attention to Colorado, Colorado used to be a very, very red state, and then it got massive influx from California and others, and it has now swung to the other direction. And, you know, even though it's a frontier state historically, it's now a much more blue state, or blue, and, of course, the marijuana and everything else. So Republicans are not really in control. But you have Ken DeGraff, a state representative, giving a speech using his laptop. Well, his laptop has a sticker on it.
In case anybody's wondering, the reason that because I had to cover up this and then they couldn't stand my sticker and I actually had it. It said shall not be infringed and signed 2A, and that was considered offensive, which I understand would be offensive to this bill. But
Mr. DeGraff, there is just a rule that we don't have that type of things in the whale.
So, okay. No displays of the Constitution in the well. Got it.
Because the rule is you're not supposed to have, I guess, political messages when you go up there. And so a sticker that doesn't have a picture of a gun, you know, it's just a shall not be infringed with a 2A under. That's all it says on his laptop. And they told him to cover it up. They made him put a bag over it or a burqa or, you know, Here, put some tape over the exposed bits there you got, sir. We don't want anybody seeing that part of the Constitution up in here. And that's why I love his response.
So, okay, no displays of the Constitution in the well. Got it.
Yeah, no, we don't want to have any reminders of what the Constitution says while we're up here talking about, you know, public policy and debating infringing a fundamental right of the American people in the Constitution. Got it. Lesson learned. 437-1620. Oh, you know, we've been talking about the bowling pin bats that now you've got the Houston Astros are looking into. I'm actually surprised Houston didn't come up with it first.
Trash can.
Trash can. Anyway. No, but also one of the players for the Red Sox has already been using it, has already been trying it out. So here's my theory about this. We talked about the physics of this the other day and how the bowling pin bat is
torpedo.
Torpedoes are different. No, but torpedoes can be just straight. They don't
look
like that.
It's called a torpedo bat.
Yeah, but the torpedo doesn't look like that.
Well, it depends.
I mean, it maybe looks like a Hellfire missile. Anyway, we're off topic now. Yeah. The point is, I'm calling a bowling pin bat. It's my show. I will.
Torpedo.
Gulf of Mexico. So there's, even if it doesn't actually do anything differently, how important is belief for an athlete in any sport? Confidence for an athlete in any sport? And especially baseball. Baseball is, 90% mental and 50% physical. No, sounds like Yogi Bear. Anyway, no, it's huge confidence issue, right? It's a placebo effect. The bats work because people believe the bats work. And the bats will keep working as long as people keep believing the bats work, even if they don't actually make a difference. And so we'll find out over time. But, you know, it might be that people have better batting averages using the bats just because everybody believes the bats work better. Hey, that's true.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster.
It's our Declaration of Economic Independence.
President Trump's new tariffs on imports from around the world take effect Saturday, with higher tariffs for some products and countries kicking in next Wednesday.
The global economy will massively suffer.
European Union Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent on Fox Business says, sit back, take it in, let's see how it goes.
If you retaliate, there will be escalation. If you don't retaliate, this is the high watermark.
At least 10% on all imports. His federal corruption charges now dropped. New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he'll run for re-election as an independent, not a Democrat.
The dismissal of the bogus case against me dragged on too long, making it impossible to mount a primary campaign.
At least 9 Democrats are looking to replace him. Primary day is June 24th. Today is the last day to sign up. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 72. It is cloudy in Pensacola today. A Walton County deputy has died after an on-duty shooting. It happened yesterday at a dollar store in Mossy Head on Lancelot Road. The sheriff's office says Deputy William May was escorting a man from the store when that man suddenly turned and shot him.
Deputy May, to his great personal credit and courage, was able to draw his firearm and return fire. This short but violent gunfight resulted in at least 18 rounds being fired, with both individuals being hit.
Sheriff Mike Adkinson, Deputy May was taken to a hospital and died a few hours later. Adkinson says May was wearing a bulletproof vest, but the shot that killed him went under that vest. May leaves behind a wife and 2 children. A Milton man's been accused of sex crimes involving a young girl in the Andalusia area. 55-year-old Breton Etroy Brown is charged with traveling to meet a child for an unlawful sex act. An investigation started after that girl told friends she'd been coerced into inappropriate activities with Brown as she was on spring break here in our area. The girl's mother gave her phone to law enforcement. They used that phone and her Facebook account to set up a meeting between the girl and Brown. Law enforcement officers arrested Brown at the Sunset Inn in Andalusia. He's now being held on $150,000 bond at the Covington County Jail. Florida's being sued over a new immigration law. Some immigrants' rights groups filed suit yesterday in federal court in Miami over SB 4C. The law makes it illegal for undocumented immigrants to enter or re-enter the state. The plaintiffs say that law is unconstitutional. An Army intelligence officer is accused of being a predator. That's from the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. And Sheriff Chad Cronister, soldier was arrested yesterday at the MacDill Air Force Base for sexual battery and aggravated stalking. A woman claims that the man forcefully restrained her and battered her at a home in December. Cronister said that predators who use violence to harm and control others have no place in our community. Well, Florida's newest congressmen are now on the job. District 1's Jimmy Patronis, District 6's Randy Fine were sworn in yesterday. Both add to the Republican Party's majority in the House. Patronis addressed his colleagues and said he's ready to get the fiscal house in order. He also said it's the opportunity of a lifetime to fix the country so our children grow up in a nation that's safe and full of opportunity. Well, the FWC has announced their preliminary plans for a bear hunt this year. The Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission held a video conference yesterday. They said that this bear hunt would be held this December from the 6th through the 28th. The number of bears killed would be limited to 187. FWC is still getting public feedback on the plan. A final vote won't happen until August. Another video conference is planned later today. You can find more info on that at myfwc.com. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulkway Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still dealing with 98 eastbound that is backed up. If you're traveling on 87 to 98 going east, then you will experience about a 15 to 20 minute delay due to an earlier accident that is off to the side of the road, but still causing maybe a 15 to 20 minute delay associated with that. If you are traveling on I-10 eastbound, right around the Highway 29 interchange right there, you're going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay through that construction zone. But other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 weather forecast with Marion Caldwell.
Showers come to an end pretty quickly as you go through the morning hours with some sunshine by the afternoon, high near 65 degrees. Overnight tonight, we will have temperatures dropping into the 30s and 40s. Going into Friday, nice sunny weather with a high near 63. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 53 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now, it is 72 degrees across the area. Our next news at 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields fell sharply this morning after President Trump's reciprocal tariff policy announcement, which raised concerns about the possibility of a global trade war. The 10-year Treasury yield dropped by 13 basis points to 4.066%. Apple shares sank more than 6% in late trading and led a broader decline in tech stocks after Trump's tariff announcement. Apple manufactures most devices in China. NVIDIA, which produces new chips in Taiwan, fell about 5.7%. New Orleans' housing market continues to struggle. For the third year in a row, total home sales were down in 2024, while new listings were up. That's according to the annual Economic Outlook and Real Estate Forecast Report. House prices overall were slightly higher, with the median sales price for a single-family home up 2.2%. Futures are sharply lower, with Dow futures down by more than 1,100 points. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 235, the NASDAQ gained 151. That's Your Money Now.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
At Pensacola Christian Academy, your child will thrive in a safe, caring environment designed to build a solid foundation. Kindergartners become confident readers, develop fine motor skills through cursive writing, and sharpen problem-solving skills with engaging hands-on learning. Experience the affordable excellence and unmatched value of Pensacola Christian Academy. Learn more at enrollpca.com/radio. For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 740 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us now by phone, we have Mike Wood. He is the Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I think there's only kind of one incident that we need to talk about, and that is a shot spotter alert that led to you guys finding and arresting somebody for shooting at a vehicle or something like this. What happened here?
Yeah, there was a disturbance, and a female took a gun and shot the tire of the vehicle that was there on site, and it set off shot spotter. Officers arrived and found a shell casing in the roadway, and during the investigation found out who was responsible for that. They were able to recover the weapon from inside the home that was stuffed in a freezer. So, we're glad that nobody was hurt on that situation. But, a funny thing about this individual, while they were questioning her, she asked them if she could finish her beer that was sitting close, and they told her she couldn't do that. And then she asked them if she could smoke a marijuana cigarette that was within arm's reach as well, and they denied that also. So, I think that obviously her decision making was poor that day. She was probably on one or more substances when it happened.
So she hid it in the freezer.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. And do we know why she shot the tire out?
That she was involved in a disturbance with people that were in the vehicle.
Oh, okay.
We're just obviously glad that she didn't shoot at anybody in the car.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Strange case, strange requests while you're talking to the cops, but also quick action by law enforcement prevented it from becoming a cold case.
Yeah, that's true. And once again, shot spotter.
No, you're not going to laugh? Not even a little bit at the freezer gun?
No, I got it. I just had to walk around it real quick.
I appreciate you, brother. All right, let's We got gradually even more serious things to talk about, so I apologize for joking. You know I do, though. Every once in a while, I have heard cops sometimes tell jokes, too, but it's rumor. We had a horrible story come out of Pensacola last year where we had this case of somebody had made basically pornography of a minor with AI, and then that got distributed to people by, as I recall, the person's girlfriend or something at the time. That person wound up getting charged. The originator, the manufacturer, so to speak, could not be charged under the current law. But that law is being revised in Tallahassee, and you PPD has been, you've been talked about this a lot, but, you know, that's a law that's coming in direct response to a PPD case, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a loophole in the law. If it's illegal to distribute these photos, it probably should be illegal to make them in the first place. And that's the loophole. So hopefully if this legislation goes through, then that will be taken care of, and we will have the teeth that we need to prosecute these cases.
You know, there was also a and we'll wait obviously to see that come all the way through, but certainly, I mean, it's crazy to me that's an existing loophole in the law. Supreme Court recently ruled on the matter of ghost guns, ghost gun parts, essentially saying that yes, it is okay to have prohibitions on some of these things, ultimately the goal being to have you know, serial numbers on the primary parts of a gun. But I was curious because I'm always wondering about the significance of these things. Gun control advocates want to act as though so-called ghost guns or manufactured guns or whatever are a huge problem. Other folks want to say that there's not much. I just don't know. From your perspective in the PPD, how common is it to encounter guns that were either manufactured or made without serial numbers? I don't mean the ones where people scratch them off. That's a whole different issue. But is that a common thing, uncommon thing?
It happens, but it's not very common.
Okay.
What we see more is defaced firearms.
Sure. Which is the sort of the old-fashioned way to do it is you have the gun and then you scratch off the VIN number, so to speak, or the serial number, so to speak. Okay. I was just curious because I didn't know the significance of it. I hate to have to talk about this with you, but I know you guys hate to have to think about these things. We had a deputy in Walton County yesterday killed in a just bizarre, horrible, very ordinary kind of incident. I will talk with you about that in just a second. I know your department and your folks have been talking about this a lot internally because that's what you do. We'll come back to Mike Wood here in just a moment. John Pickens has traffic on the fives first. John?
The only issue I'm seeing right now, if you're on 98 eastbound right around the Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to see about a 25-30 minute delay to get you to about the Windhaven Beach area. So just be aware of that. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mike Wood, the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, when a close enough partner agency like the Walton County Sheriff's Office loses a deputy, especially in a case like this, I have to assume that it affects everybody in your agency.
Yeah, it does. Our hearts are heavy this morning. Our thoughts are certainly with Deputy William May and his family and the men and women of the Walton County Sheriff's Office. This is a tragedy, and it happens, and it happens a lot. You know, happens a lot, and you just never know on these situations where something minor, you're there for a minor reason, and I believe this was a trespassing call. You never know what could happen, and it was just a couple of summers ago when we had a Pensacola police officer investigating a very minor hit and run crash. It was a traffic officer approached this individual and was going to ask him about his side of the story, and it turned tragic. And the officer had to protect his weapon during a fight that ensued and ended up shooting this individual. So all he was going to get was maybe a traffic ticket or a notice to appear. That's it. And the officer would have turned around and left.
And, of course, that's what Sheriff Atkinson said about this case. It wasn't an arrest. It wasn't, there was no priors, as far as I know, anything like that. And just talk to him for 10 or 15 seconds. They're walking out the store. They get outside the store, and he decides to pull a gun out and shoot the deputy. It's unbelievable. And, of course, I've been talking about all morning how common this is, how, level of escalation, level of force, trespassing someone who's cooperative doesn't normally involve frisking them or handcuffing them, right? I mean, just this is a very – you're never trying to overuse force because – you can cause a problem just by the way you respond, right?
Yeah, exactly. We've been accused before of being overly aggressive and there's too many officers on the scene. And why did three officers come on this traffic stop for me running a stop sign? It's because we're trying to be careful. We're always going to have an individual maybe walk outside the store in front of us. We're not going to let them walk behind us. We are trained to do things like that to keep an eye on them no matter what the situation is. Even when we're taking a theft report, you just never know when things can go bad. So we don't mean to be overly aggressive, but that's just the way we are trained. We've got to keep our eyes on everybody and hopefully try to prevent things like this. But the truth of the matter is things like this are going to happen. It's part of being in law enforcement. It's a risk that you're willing to take every day, every time you put the uniform on.
And, of course, that's why I'm so appreciative of what you guys do, what all law enforcement agents do for us. Of course, the military, same. I mean, you never know. You never know what's going to happen. But, anyway, it's just – It's a absolutely baffling, frustrating, infuriating tragedy that a relatively young dad and husband is gone for no good reason, and we don't even know. Maybe he stopped a mass shooting. Maybe we don't know. Maybe that's why was this guy there in the first place. We don't know. I did want to ask you. We always like to end on a cop myth or a did you know? Do you have one for us this week?
Yeah, and it has to do with this subject. You know, you see on television all the time when the officer wears a bulletproof vest, he'll take 6 or 8 rounds to the chest and just get up and brush off and smile and everything's fine. And that's just not true. In fact, over the past 10 years, 28% of officers killed while wearing body armor were killed by rounds hitting unprotected areas of the torso. The body armor protects a lot, but it's not completely foolproof. There are gaps. There have been situations where a round might strike the trauma plate, and depending on the angle that it's fired, it could go up and hit the officer in the throat or the chin area. So the vests are they do their job most of the time, but there are some times when the caliber of the bullet is too much for the vest, or a round is able to get in an unprotected place. So you know, even if it does hit the vest and it does stop it, it's equivalent. The best way I can put it is if you were to take a baseball bat and swing it as hard as you can and hit a person in the chest with that bat, in the vest with that bat, that's what it feels like. You're going to have some broken ribs. There's going to be some damage, but you're certainly not going to get up and brush it off and smile and walk away like you see on television.
So the getting knocked down, getting heavily bruised, getting concussed basically in your body, I mean, those are all very common byproducts of getting shot in a vest. And you know, just suddenly, oh, look, everything's fine. That's very unrealistic. And as you say, it's got, you know, there are ways, I mean, the thing doesn't protect everywhere. And, you know, especially if, you know, somebody was falling or at an angle or through the armhole or something like that, you know, terrible things can still happen, as you said, right?
Absolutely. There's just unprotected parts of the body. The officer's head is one of those parts. And, right. You know, we've seen officers sitting in vehicles, just sitting at a stoplight being shot. So, you know, we do the best we can with what we've got. We're very glad that we have the protective armor. It gets better and better every year. But there's sometimes, unfortunately, things like this are going to happen.
Yeah, very, very unfortunately. Mike Wood, he is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you for your folks keeping us safe. Thanks for keeping us informed, and we'll talk to you again next week. And please, I know you do, and I know this community is incredibly supportive of law enforcement, but, you know, every chance you get, please, you know, convey our appreciation to your folks, because, you know, we do. I mean, we really, really appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Just pray for Walton County.
Amen. 751 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home and you want to get good advice, or you want to have a question answered, or even you want to help get some input onto making the decision. You know, one of the things about real estate I think a lot of folks do is you kind of make the decision to sell your home, and then you go get somebody to help you do it. And that's fine. Okay, that's why you get a good real estate agent like Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. That's fine. But maybe back up one step in the process, and before you make a decision, give her a call. Because, you know how it is. Like, you go back and forth and you argue and you talk and you run numbers or you what, you know, and you think about it a lot. And maybe you can save yourself some headaches, some time, and maybe make, you know, committing to a decision that you have to uncommit to by calling her and saying, hey, here's what we're thinking about. You know, can you give us some perspective? We've been thinking about picking up an Airbnb that we want to buy and invest in. Is that a good investment right now? We want to maybe buy a rental home for long-term rentals. Is that a good investment right now? We've been thinking about buying a beach home, you know, or we got, you know, relatives elsewhere that want to move here. You know, I mean, whatever the question is, she loves to talk to people about real estate. So literally, you can call her and say, Andrew said it's okay to call you with a question. Is that true? And she'll be like, yep. And she'll talk to you, because Christina's great. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1, to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us tomorrow at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
I'm your number one fan.
In your head, what are you picturing right now? Big hair, bandana.
Yes, I'm to be honest.
Bright
honest.
Red leather pants.
Oh, boy.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
You know you are.
7:55 on News Radio 92.3. Great branding. I don't mean the pants. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. No new accident to let you know about right now, but we're still dealing with the traffic issue on 98 eastbound right around the Navarre Beach Bridge. And if you're going past that, add about another 25, 30 minutes onto your commute this morning. Because there was an earlier accident. It's out of the way, but we're still down to one lane in that area. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Trump signed the new U.S. global tariffs yesterday, keeping in line with a campaign promise. Vice President J.D. Vance was on Fox News earlier this morning to explain why the previous system failed and why the tariffs are needed.
We borrow money from Chinese peasants to buy the things those Chinese peasants manufacture. That is not a recipe for economic prosperity. It's not a recipe for low prices, and it's not a recipe for good jobs in the United States of America.
Speaking on behalf of Chinese peasants everywhere, I find that label offensive.
Not sure what to do with that. So moving on, Trump called the reciprocal tariffs Liberation Day at the event yesterday. Pro-Palestinian demonstrators are back on the campus of Columbia University. A handful of protesters chained themselves to the school's outer gates to protest the arrest of a former Columbia student and an activist. Public safety officers eventually had to remove the group. And the FAA says they're offering support and oversight to air traffic controllers at the Reagan National Airport. The Critical Incident Stress Management Team is meeting with their airport personnel this month. The FAA is reviewing policies there, all this after the mid-air collision that happened earlier this year.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620, only because I have seen way too many movies. Whenever the word peasant comes up, I always picture one particular thing.
Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
Yes, yes. Shut up. All right. Oh, help, help. I'm being repressed. 7:57 on News Radio. I've seen way too many movies. I thought this was kind of interesting. This is a good news note. We were talking the other day about the ECUA meeting and talking about the whole issue of fluoride. Vicki Campbell, in the context of that meeting, made an announcement dealing with recycling.
What we're doing in recycling now, we're doing videos on how to recycle right. We're trying to get the information out. Us and the city, I think, are doing a much, much better job of recycle these days. We're actually not losing money anymore in recycling, Tommy tells me this morning. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, that is good. Because remember, the problem with recycling for a long time, aside from, fires and places getting flooded and people embezzling money. it's been a lot. Is that the Chinese weren't buying the recycling anymore, and so we weren't able to make money on it. But you remember the original purpose of recycling, years ago with ECUA was not really to make money. It was to find a way to not have to pay the tipping fees at the landfill to the county, which is much more expensive than even all of the millions of dollars invested in the machinery to process the recycling. Now, if you make money, that's great. If you break even, that's fine. And if you lose money, it might still be that you're saving versus the tipping fee per ton at the landfill. But yeah, that's great. I mean, if there's less contamination, people are doing it better, if the market has improved, and if we're actually making a little bit of money, you know, for the people, so to speak, that's great. And oh, by the way, the city of Pensacola is going to be rolling out recycling in about a month. The mayor's been kind of vague about prices and, you know, time frames until they get a full, robust announcement. But very, very close to having recycling again by opt-in and for a fee in the city of Pensacola.